Hallelujah. You're here, and you're here to worship the Lord and to praise Him and get a blessing from on high. You need to be praying for our service. We want the Lord's presence and blessing, don't we? Amen?
Amen.
I have selected some hymns that have some application to the study of Christ in the Old Testament. And that is the matter of his wrestling with Christ. And that's a strange, strange passage. I think it's appropriate sometime to explain some matters. This has been an especially busy week for us, having put some new windows in upstairs and getting ready for some long-range programs. And I've said this already in the past and got trouble for it. It's like some of you wives finding that you're so busy that you couldn't take much time to plan a meal. I have studied, I must admit. I feel like I should have studied more, but time was a matter. So I'm planning this morning more or less as a study rather than preaching on this subject of Christ wrestling Jacob from the book of Genesis. But we have a powerful God, and we need to sing about Him, and He's our refuge. It's number 37 in the tune you know quite well, don't you?
We will not be afraid.
you close that page, notice the last stanza has to do with the God of Jacob. Down towards the end, it says, the Lord of hosts is on our side, our safety to secure. The God of Jacob is for us a refuge strong and sure. You'll find that out this morning about Jacob, and it's a wonderful account. Well, we need to be piloted, and so did Jacob need to have some piloting. 497. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. 497. Going to have you stand a half of this chapter or thereabouts, and then I'm going to have you sit, because 32 verses, a little much sometimes to stand. So I'm going to ask you to stand as I read the account of Jacob that is relevant to our message this morning. Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded him, saying, now thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban, and stayed there until now, and I have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight. Well, the messengers, they returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and by the way, he's a twin brother, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Well, then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels and the two bands. And he said, now, if Esau come to one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saith unto me, return unto thy country, to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I'm not worthy of the least of all thy mercies, of the mercies, and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I pass over this Jordan, and now I become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother with the children. And thou sayest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And he lodged there that same night. He took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau, his brother. 200 she-goats, 20 he-goats, 200 ewes, 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 kine, and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses, and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants. Every drove by themselves. And he said unto the servants, now pass over before me, and put a space betwixt drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, now, or when Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, whose art thou? And willst thou, and whither goest thou? And whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold also, he is behind us. And so commanded he the second and the third, and all that followed the droves, saying, on this manner shall you speak unto Esau when you find him. And say ye more, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with a present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face. Peradventure he will accept of me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night, and took his two wives, and his two women servants, and his 11 sons, and passed over the fork Jabbok. And he took them, and sent them over the brook, and sent over that he had. Please be seated, and I will continue to read. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, as Jacob said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him, and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him and halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the suet which shank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the suet that shrank. Let's pray. Well, Lord God, we thank thee for the privilege of having us to meet this morning and read your precious word, and how thankful we are for it. It's your very breath. It is God's word, and we've come to not only express our gratitude for helping us this past week, sparing us and having us live in the land which you placed us. And now we realize that we're not just physical persons, but we also have a spirit and a soul, and the spirit which you have given to us needs to be awakened. And we need that second blessing. We need the, yes, we need the new life and being born again. And Father, this is so important. And may the Spirit of God impress upon us the need for being born again from above. And then, our Father, we also need to be a wise as serpents and harmless as a dove intellectually and emotionally. We ask for help and control and guidance. And then, our Father, we want to acknowledge that we need your guidance for the future. And as we study the man Jacob this morning, may we see ourselves. And may we learn from the passage before us. May we be helped and encouraged. We ask our Father for your care upon, continued care upon your people, those that you have adopted into your family, those of the remnant. Lord, we ask for help and your blessings upon each. May we be able to walk with by faith. And may we see your hand, your almighty hand, working out in our lives, even in times of not understanding why. May we see that all these things work together for good. Now, our Father, once again, look upon us individually, please, and collectively as a church, help us to do your will in the name of Christ. Amen. Will you join with me in singing? And I gave you the wrong hymn the last time. I gave you the third hymn. Now let's turn to the second hymn, which is 106. I'll sing the mighty power of God, 106. Leadership of the Lord and his guidance. And hymn number 500 speaks about that he leadeth me. Hymn number 500.
Faithful Father, I would be for why he
might want to stand as you sing the last stanza.
Time when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace a victory's won, in death's away I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me.
Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32, in a continuing study of Christ in the Old Testament. And of all the times to pick a subject that I feel is difficult, it's the way it is. And so I'd have you to read about Christ wrestling Jacob. I want to start at verse 24 to the end of the chapter. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, that is the angel of God, which is Christ. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is your name?" "Thy name." He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel." That means the Prince of God. "For as a prince hath thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore it is that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And he passed over Peniel, and the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. And therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh. And unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, is the sinew that shrank. A little problem with that there, shrank. Well, that is God's word. And we see a situation here where it's 20 years before that. God spoke to Jacob, I believe saved him. And we find that God gave him promises that he'd go with him and fulfill his word. I think that's rather marvelous, as we find in verse 9 of this chapter. And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham," he's praying, "and the God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saith unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee." What a prayer Jacob is praying. And so now he's returning to receive his birthrights, privileges, promises, but he has to see himself, and he does. Then he gets the reassurance of the blessing from God, which is just wonderful. And so we have this morning the details I want to share with you about this. Just simple outline. Who, where, and what. So we can just study this a little bit this morning, get some help from God's Word for us. Where is this all taking place? Well, it's on the border of the Promised Land is where it's taking place. And he's at the point where now he's going to see all the promises that God has made to him. He wants to see it fulfilled. And but he receives some frightening news. And you know what, brethren, we do at times receive some news that's not very pleasant. And it might be that we need to be more sanctified, and God allows it. And he said, his brother Esau, his twin brother Esau, is coming. And coming to meet, and so he has to meet Esau. And they had a squabble before he left 20 years ago, because Jacob in his name means supplanter. Or if I want to use a contemporary word, his shyster. What? That's what Jacob means. Well, he beat Esau out of the birthright. That's fooling around here pretty strong when it comes to birthrights in the Bible. But you know the conniving between, you can read in earlier chapters, and I'm not going to go there, how it was done. And so he has to, as a supplanter, also to figure out what he's going to do. Here comes his brother with 400 men. And the last time they met, they didn't get along. And so he's wondering what's going to happen here. And Jacob is afraid. You can get afraid too. And so in his fear, he decides he's got to do something. You know, it's one thing to say, well, God is in control. And he is. But he also gives us, I think that we need to be careful, to be cautious, and also do some planning. John Knox, when old Bloody Mary got after him in Scotland, he just took off for the mountains. You say, well, where is his faith in a sovereign God? He had faith in a sovereign God, a terrific amount of faith. Scotland still feels the presence of John Knox, but he is smart enough to say, I better get out of here. Oh, Queen Mary's army's coming for me, or regiment's coming for me, and I'm going to leave. And so we can learn some lessons. It doesn't hurt to do a little planning, but it doesn't mean that you do the kind of planning that the strategies that Jacob's doing here necessarily. But night comes and he can't sleep. And he's all alone. I read it in the chapter here. So, you know, being in solitude isn't the worst thing sometimes. Got the old TV on, the old radio, and the old MP3s, and the computer on, and going down the road, and we're just kind of busy people, and don't know what it is, solitude. Be still and know that he's God. It doesn't hurt to quiet down a little bit, shut the door, and turn off the things, and just have a time with God. I wonder how many of you do that. Well, you have to answer that, because if you don't, you're missing a blessing, because there is a blessing in walking alone. I want to say this, that if you read the Bible carefully, the great folk of God, they spent time alone with God. And if they did it, and the spirituality they had, I tell you, we need to have it. And so Jacob, he's all alone. He's got the fellow who is called the supplanter, but he's also referred to as the heel holder. When these twin boys were in the mother's womb, they struggled. Oh, come on. Yeah. You say, well, how are you going to figure that out? I'm not. I'm just going to give you what the Word of God says. They struggled. In other words, they must have been uncomfortable or something, and they struggled together. I don't understand. But you know how Jacob come out holding his brother Esau by the heel, the Bible says. So he's a heel holder. And so here, out of the darkness of the night, he has a visitor. Yes. Well, what about it? It's the angel of the Lord. Well, you got it on the board, dear, that that's Christ. That's right. That's a theophany. Theo means God, and theophany means the manifestation of God. And those who are smarter than I am, that studied even more diligently, especially the Word of God, the Hebrew, they say that means Christ, the pre-incarnated Christ. You want to argue with them? Go for it. I accept that their study is right, and this is the pre-incarnated Christ. And here he is in the middle of the night with a man who can't sleep, and he's scared to death, and he's praying. He prays a wonderful prayer. We read it here. A wonderful prayer. And next thing we know here is, by the way, you may need some more confidence. You say, well, that's what some man says. All right? You want a little more proof in that, don't you? Yeah, I like a little more proof in that. Look at verse 28 of this chapter. What's that have to say? Well, 28 says, and he said, thy name should be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as the prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. You had power with God? God? Wrestled God? Come on now. Look at verse 30. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. He said, I saw God. Well, where'd you see him? In the wrestling. Well, that's really strange. It's getting more strange all the time. If you think that's not proof enough, then let's turn to Hosea. And that's a little book you're going to have a little trouble finding. Back towards the end of the Old Testament. I can read some for you if you just want me to read it. I'll go to the 13th chapter of Hosea. For what reason? I want proof that the one that wrestled Jacob was not just some fellow from downtown. It was God manifested in the flesh. And the angel of God is referred to in the Bible as a pre-incarnated Christ. Well, that's quite a situation. And so I'm in the 12th chapter of Hosea, and I'm going to read a few scripture verses talking about the situation, explaining it. Verse 3, he took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with whom? He had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel. And prevailed. He wept and made supplication, unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. What? He had power over the angel. And it looked like a wrestling match, but... Most boys like to wrestle. And then when they get some age on them, like three I know, wrestled while they were in school and did quite well. Wrestling is a sport. And I just saw recently two fellows wrestling that I couldn't believe the holds and how they broke them. It was professional. If you think they just go out there and maul each other around like two bears, I gotta tell you, they have holds and they have ways of breaking holds, and these guys are professional. We saw them and say, boy, that is terrific. I never saw anything like that. And so we're talking about wrestling, and Hosea here confirms the identity of the person who wrestled Jacob, the angel of the Lord. It was referred to as a theophany, theologically, and that is the angel of the Lord is referred to as the pre-incarnated Christ. I guess I leave it there. His abilities prove who he is, though, in the wrestling. Now, why did the angel of the Lord, why did Christ come to wrestle with Jacob? Now, Jacob If you read about him, he said he had power with God and power with men. He was quite a leader. And, you know, there are some who say, well, he was a, you know, he was a heel holder and a supplanter and a shyster and a crook and all that. And they look at it from the negative side, but you need to look at it what God can do to someone like a Jacob and make him Israel. You know, I met a man this week, and his name is Israel. Yeah, Israel Stoffus. What's his first name? Israel. You don't hear that too often. It means the Prince of God. That's a great name. Anyway, Jacob had his name changed. And brethren, if our Lord God saves you, he gives you a new name, which is written down in heaven. I don't know what your name is. You don't know what my name is either. But the Bible speaks about the Lord doing this. He did that to the old Saul and made him Paul the Apostle. We make kind of a deal about names, don't we, today? And some people make sure all their children are given biblical names, and then some make sure that they give them the strangest, weirdest tribal name from Africa, I guess, whatever you might say. But names are something else, and I believe there's something to it. The name that you have, something to it. Well, here they are. The who's the aggressor here? Oh, Jacob. He was a strong man, and the Jews did wrestle, and they liked to wrestle, even the Olympics. No. The aggressor is the angel of the Lord, is Christ, and he's all through the wrestling. He's doing the prevailing. However, Jacob's not doing a bad job. It said he stayed right with it. And that's one thing about wrestling. You just keep at it. Just keep at it. You may be losing. You may be losing points, but don't give up. Don't give up until they blow the whistle. Just keep at it. There's a spiritual lesson for us. We have struggles. And it seems that God is allowing a trials in our lives, don't throw the towel in and say, oh, I give up. The church has gone to hell, and what is it to live for? People are turning aside from the truth. Only a small amount of people pays any attention to the Word of God anymore, and most of them are senior citizens. What's the value of even messing around with the church? I got news for you. If you knew how few of the remnant of God is on this world, you'd probably be very much surprised. Oh, I know you see mega churches on the boob tube, and you think that everything is just so wonderful because they're singing some praises and lifting their hands, and that is God. God is really being worshipped. No. No, don't look at it that way. Look at people that go through deep waters, have experience with God in prayer, and come out victorious in that the Lord blesses them for standing true. I don't want any persecution, but I tell you, when I listen to the news of the week, I really get discouraged. Well, then why do you listen? Well, or why do you read? Something's gone on, and I knew who is the controller of this old world, and I see things going. You know, I had to make sure my seatbelt was on when I read. I noticed this week with our Hillary Clinton and how she went before the Africans and said that gays and homosexuals, they have rights, and they have rights that even should be before your religious principles. To that extent, I'm interpreting it. Years ago, I heard that she was a licensed Methodist preacher before she became so notorious. I tried to look that up to see whether that was true, but I remember reading it. Just so we can get some votes. Say something nice about the perverts. This is our United States of America. Does it upset you at any at all? Say, no, it doesn't upset me at all. It doesn't? What's the matter with you? Something's wrong. What's this have to do with it? Well, the angel of the Lord is opposing Jacob for some reason. And the reason is he was a planner. And he could do all kinds of things and come out winning. Things that really weren't right. I often question his husbandry with the animals with old father-in-law Laban. I think there was a secret in how he arranged for all those animals to be birthed for his particular color. He knew something about genetics. Well, you say, so what? This is the kind of a guy he was. We have a lot of people that way. They're pretty smart, but when it comes right down to it, they're evil. They're crooked. And this was Jacob before God changed him around, and that's what he's doing here. And so we find that the angel controls the entire match for the most part. But I'll tell you one thing. I want to say this: Jacob did not let him go. And so the angel of the Lord, that is Christ, pre-incarnated Christ, with his finger, touched his hip and put it out of joint. Well, so what? People have their hips out of joint, but this was a kind of a job that was going to last him forever. So it was God that can take just a touch of his finger and cause his hip to be out of joint and be a lasting infirmity. Had a reason for it. And as he said, he saw God face to face. He said, I have to be blessed. Now he's beginning to wake up. He had prayer, and prayer has power with God, and he needed to be humbled. Now I want to tell you something. My observation on a lot of Christians is that we're still a pretty proud bunch. We think we really are something. You say, well, I know the Lord. You do. Yeah, well, people also know you. And you walk proudly. And you talk proudly. And you act proudly. You are somebody. And there are Christians that are doing that, and they think that's the right way to go. God wants a humble person. And so Jacob, though he was a believer, needed to be humbled. And maybe some of us need to be humbled. And God will take you to the task. And all night, until the dawn of the morning, put you through the ropes, so to speak. You hang on. Yeah. God says, he said, I need a blessing, Lord. God gives him, said, what is your name? Jacob's still hanging on. He said, my name's Jacob. That's right. What does it mean? Supplanter, a heel holder, a shyster, a crook, proud, arrogant, wealthy, all kinds of abilities. And he says, a believer. Yes, I remind you, what is your name? Jacob. Still hanging on. He said, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. And he wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And he said, on down there. Verse 27. What is thy name? He said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, a prince of God. What? Israel means a prince of God. Wow. That is quite a name change. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. He's get accommodation and a blessing. It's amazing. What a blessing. What a blessing. And and then he gives a blessing to him. Now, he also has this injury. Well, God can heal, can he? Sure he can. No problem about that. Well, heal him. Mm-mm. No, he needed to be reminded. What he had to be reminded? As an old man walking down the street. Hey, there goes old Jacob. What's the matter with him, the old man? He's such a wonderful guy. I knew him when he was young and a wrestler, powerful, a crook. Something happened to him. Yeah. Christ wrestled him. The angel of the Lord. The pre-incarnate Christ. God. The angel of God. Angel of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jacob needed it. You know what? Some of us. You may need to have a God work you over too. You're maybe getting a little too hot of yourself. You've done pretty well, maybe business and in your work, and you're just doing just fine. But for some reason, you're not really happy about your life. Maybe you can't sleep either. And that's not the reason why some people can't sleep, but it's part of it. In fact, figuring to sleeping. Here he is holding on his thigh, going down the street. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Who? The great apostle Paul, a man of great faith. He had an infirmity. He asked God 3 times, God, heal me. In the name of Jesus, heal me. Then heal him. Said, you need that. You need that thorn in the flesh so you don't trust yourself. So you don't trust yourself. So you don't trust yourself. You trust God. Find strength not in your personal weakness. Well, man, I'm 80 years old and I don't have a heart problem and I'm doing this and I'm doing fine. You're just doing well. You're just doing well. You're just trusting how wonderful you are. You see somebody in a nursing home that's in the 50s, you say, what in the world is he doing in here? He's only 50 years old. You can get to a place where you trust yourself. And I believe this was Jacob's problem. I know the outcome of the story. And his problem was he was too heady, and God had to bring him down. And I'm telling you, he does that to all of his people if we get out of place. We need chastisement of the Lord, friends, when we get out of hand. And who wants to be licked by God? You might, but not me. No, thank you. And so here we are. He had it all figured out how to outwit Esau. It gave him 500 animals. Wee! Tell me if the man was rich. 500 animals he sent ahead to appease his offended brother Esau because he stole the birthright. And he said, I'm going back to the land because God told me to go back home and get my blessings. And so he said, well, here comes 400 men coming at him. He said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll split this up, these animals, in droves. Here's a drove, like in a parade. Then there's a little space. And a man leading that drove of animals. And then this drove of animals. And this drove of animals. And he said, when you meet my lord Esau. Now, wait a minute. Don't call anybody lord. God is the only one. Well, I'm going to argue that with point with you, but that's when he called his brother. He was a little older, I understand. Esau, I understand that. Should have had the birthright. But, and you say, well, what was wrong in planning like that? Well, I guess not. That seems like a pretty good sense. And he planned and he prayed. Well, you can't say much about that then, can you? No, not too much, but it still seemed like old Jacob's involved here. But sovereign grace changed old Jacob. had an opposition all night till daybreak. And he said to him, Jacob said, what is your name? And the angel said, what is your name? He said, my name's Jacob. That's right. I wrestled all night with you because you need to be changed. You need to be sanctified. You need to become more like Christ. You need to become more like me. I'm giving you a name, Israel. You're going to be a prince of God and with men. What a blessing. That's shouting blessing. Hallelujah. I want to say this to you. Can God take a crook and make him a spiritual giant? You think that's possible? You think God can take a heady Christian who thinks he is really somebody and has all the answers and walks around like he owns the world? There are Christians like that. You think you take a Christian like that and bring him down so that he is a spiritual man, a woman? Yeah. That's the way he does it. This is Christ in the Old Testament. So, get alone. You can pray and fast. You're going to go through a struggle. Stay right with it. Don't throw the towel in. Say, I quit. I don't want any more of that. I'm out of here. People quit church. I'm out of here. Don't quit. Be steadfast. By the way, that name Israel has, as a prince of God, it also has the idea in the Hebrew of being steadfastly with God. Now, do you have it right? Israel can mean a prince of God or with God, but also a steadfastness with God. And they're not contradictory, they're complementary. And so he was steadfast. And what's the bottom line that you want to hear about this morning? The bottom line is victory, success for Jacob. But what a way to get there. Talk to yourself, friends, and talk to God. And see whether you can be used more of the Lord. God's looking for people that are sold out. Not just church members, so to speak. Not just looking nice and smelling nice. Not just talking a little nice. He wants some sincere, genuine people who are spiritual. And not just in talk only. And can quote the Bible. And can give the confession of faith. And say, I work for God. And I go to church. And I've been baptized. And I do this. And I give money to the church. Well, wonderful. They're good things. But listen, God wants a life. Let me talk to your wife. Let me talk to your husband. Let me talk to your kids. Boy, sometimes kids can really show what the old man's like. My dad. And just trembling. My mom. And so there needs to be a change from the flesh to the spirit. And I do believe in the Old Testament, that's what happened to Jacob. He was walking in the flesh so much. I believe God had saved him earlier. Walking in the flesh, still walking in the flesh of the old man, the old nature. And God had to bring him to the place by in an opposition. And angels are strong, by the way. And if you think my Lord Jesus is a weakling, was a weakling walking in this earth, I got news for you. I got scripture to show that he wasn't a weakling. Or a feminine with long hair and like a woman. Today the church has become effeminate. The women are running the church. There's a church down in Harrisburg that some of my kinfolk go to, and it's run by women. What does the Bible say about it? And they have one of the highest divorce rates in the city of Harrisburg. 80% divorce rate. Are you going to listen or are you going to say, I don't believe it? Church is not to be run by you, dear gals. We love you. You have your place and you're very important. How can I emphasize it to make you believe that it really is true? But let the men do the preaching. How can a pastor be the husband of one wife? Please tell me, when you turn on the news and you see a so-called reverend and how can she be the husband of one wife? Do you need to have a surgeon's brain to figure something out like that? Or do you say, well, that's the way it is. You have to accept it, preacher. No, we don't. This is the word of God. God says, this is not man's word. This is God's word. The Bible is God's word. And tell what God says about it. You say, well, you're going to get knocked in the head if you do that. So what? God will take care of us. One of the best things probably do is to go home and be with him if you're persecuted. Well, there's a hymn. that may help us, might encourage us, as the blessing to Jacob. What a Jacob! How joyful! And it's the Lord leads us all the way. It's number 505. All the way, my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Has been my guide, heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell, for I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. Sing with understanding, dear friends, on the second, please.
All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, oh, a spring of joy I see.
Stand, please. How mysterious are thy ways, our Lord. How wonderful. Give us grace. How we need grace. Lord, we spend so much time on our own selves. Yes, Lord, you've given us a mind. Yes. Lord, may we see that we need to have your leadership and guidance individually and as a church. May we be refreshed in thinking to know that this is not an organization that we run like any other factory downtown. Just man operated. Lord, help us to see how the church is to be operated. And then, oh, Father, as we've studied about Jacob, how you've taken a crook and how you made him a spiritual giant. Blessed, multiplied, seed upon the earth, the God of Jacob. Thank you for working in his life. Work in each of our lives, Lord, we pray in the name of Christ. And now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect or mature in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Yes, and let us take time to see whether there's any input or questions. I want to let you know that I'm looking forward for tonight's service. And I really am. We're in the last chapters of Revelation with Brother Rick.